Look who's here. It's our friend Dane Neal, the host of On the Road with Dane Neal, which can be heard right here on WGN Radio Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. We haven't seen you in a while,
right,
Dane.
Right, check good? With me, people.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Here's the irony, right? It's just screaming is that I was going to come in 2 weeks ago, but the car broke down. Yeah, right?
On the road with Dane Neal.
Literally
his
on the
car
road.
Broke
it's
down.
Me walking the walk. You know, people feel if it's not authentic, if you don't, you know, break down in the car, it's not just like, hey, you know.
So true. Everything's okay, though?
I mean, sure.
With the car, with you, everything.
Yeah, not your pocketbook, although you don't have a pocketbook, do you?
I don't carry pocket. I wear a Nomex driving suit at all times because, you know what, Wendy, fires can break out at any times. Stop, drop, and roll. Got to be prepared.
Solid.
That's a good point.
Very good point.
I felt like I saw you, though, because I've been listening to you on the weekends.
All right.
It's
okay.
A great show.
All right. Well, this weekend, we're gonna, Mario Andretti is going to be on.
Yeah.
The Mario Andretti.
Well, actually, it's going to be Rich Little doing Mario Andretti.
Oh.
But he does a really good one and hits on pretty much all of the points. No, I'm just kidding. The real one. I didn't do like a 23andMe DNA test.
It must be cool to know that your name is synonymous. Like, I don't know if your wife ever did this, but if I'm driving too fast, my wife will go, hey, slow down, Mario. It's kind of cool to be the guy who inspired a name that's a word, you know?
That's built into like the corrective instructions of I don't, because you think about this, there are very few people that are ultimately and 100% synonymous with, you know, racing and racing success.
Sure.
And all that kind of stuff. Everybody's got things that, you know, kind of don't define them, or maybe a little bit of this, but he's a guy that I think is known worldwide. He's as big as they
oh,
get.
Oh yeah.
Mario still Andretti. Handsome.
Still handsome. Tell him Wendy said he's still handsome.
He would be happy to. Well, I don't know his particular situation currently, but I'm sure anybody would be happy to hear that. And he does. He's got a winery. He's still driving. He drives people all
Will
around the tracks.
Will you ask him a question for me?
Absolutely. 100%.
Ask him if he's driving too slow. Does his wife go, hey, why aren't you in a hurry, Bill? Like the way my wife says, Mario.
Don't ask him
see
that,
if,
Dane.
See if there's
the,
a
Live
correlation.
Up to your reputation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for that, for him, it's like, why are you going so slow, Mario Andretti?
Yeah.
You know, how you gonna
see what he says.
He's 78.
Yeah.
That's fast.
But still kind of, you know, I mean, in an objective, you know, platonic ways, he's a dashing guy. And this
totally.
He's been a great ambassador. And this is the 50th anniversary, if you can believe it, of him winning the Indianapolis 500. So he won the Indy 500, which is, you know, for the rest of your life, you're introduced as that. He also won the Daytona 500.
Wow.
Totally different fan bases. He got stock cars. He won the Formula One World Championship, which is the absolute, a lot of people would say, the hardest thing you can do.
Steve Bertrand won that.
He's won it twice, but that's it.
Yeah.
No Daytona. Daytona 500 for Bertrand.
No.
And then he's won on everything, whether it's dirt or ovals or all that kind of stuff.
Well, tell him we said hello.
I will definitely do that. So we were going to talk until, of course, the unfortunate car incident.
Yeah.
We were going to talk a little bit about resolutions on the food side. And, you know, a lot of them, most everybody, I'm sure, has pretty much broken theirs by now.
People always say as the new year comes, this is the year I'm going to start eating healthier, only eating things that are good for me. And then, yeah, by now, most people have given up
on
that.
Maybe
I haven't started yet.
Not yet, Wendy?
No, I wanted to cook more at home, and I haven't begun that yet.
Oh.
No, but that's...
So I haven't broken it.
Not yet.
And I think, too, Wendy, that's very smart, because you don't want to get in... It gets so crowded on the resolution side when everybody goes at once.
Sure.
You know, now you
pace
just...
Pace yourself.
There's no rules that you say...
Disappointment can come at any time during the year.
Yeah, let's stretch it into February, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you're disappointed by other things. So,
what are some food resolutions
Some of the ones that I had were just to, like, maybe drink... And I don't say this because this is against the kind of the brand model, but drink less beer and not at the wrong times. Don't eat so late. You know, try to... If you're going to, you know, do things that may be kind of heavy setting, do that a little bit earlier in the day. That would be one of the things.
I don't drink during the week anymore. Can you believe that?
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Once in a while, if I want a glass of wine or something, or if I have a party to go to, but typically I don't drink
that's
during
excellent.
The week.
If you have me hanging out with Roger Daltrey and...
That was from 2 years ago, but yeah, I was drinking.
They're coming back. They're going to be at Alpine Valley. That's my resolution.
Well, they're going to be in Tinley first. And then they're going to be in Alpine Valley. That's where you're going to go on the road to go see them?
We're going to take a road trip up there. You haven't had... Alpine Valley is one of the places. That was my summer job in college.
Cool job.
Is I worked like backstage, the back gate. I worked most of the jobs, carted at the beer gardens for Alpine Valley. And it used to be like there was stuff every single week, a few times a week. And for the last X amount of years, it's gone kind of dormant, right? Because of Lollapalooza, so many other venues closer to here, festivals.
And didn't they close for a while? Didn't they
last
close
year,
for
they didn't
rehabs?
Do
What was it?
I was on drug related, but the
No, to rehab the place.
I think that's what they said, but wow. I just don't think there was enough stuff going on. But now they've got quite a few. I think Jimmy Buffett's going to be up there.
The Dead was there. The remainder's Bob Weir.
Yep. Yeah, grateful. Yeah, they're going to be nice. So there's a bunch of things happening in Alpine Valley.
Very good.
That was not one of my resolutions, no, but
what,
it is now.
Go back to the resolutions. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
So here's some of the others. Expand the list of go-to meals for the week. So we have, and the kids are, they're the problem, really, and I think every parent would fit in this, is that they want a certain thing, they don't want a certain thing. I've, you know, thought it myself.
You eat what we've made, but that's a hassle sometimes.
I don't want to say it never works, Wendy, because it can sort of work, but it's usually easy to go with the flow as long as it's something that's not unhealthy. But the kids have like four or five go-to things, and that's kind of what they'll eat like all the time. So we want to try to like kind of mix it up a little bit and, you know, get some recipes out there and make some different things. I know it's kind of a hassle, but the variety is there. Want to
but
try
the
to do
good
that.
That'll come of that is, in your opinion, is what? Just a more well-rounded palate. Yes. You'll taste more flavors.
You're making me think that maybe it's just not worth it, because I'm thinking, like, really, right? What is the good?
My youngest, Dylan, tells me you make the same thing all the time, and I do. You fall into a rut, you know? It's like pork chops. Mm-hmm. I make those a lot. Steak sandwiches. It's like the same thing. I make this chicken broccoli cheesy casserole.
That sounds really good.
It's good, but I do make the same things. I need some variety, and when I tried that HelloFresh, which I think I'm going to sign up for again, they did the beep and bop, and I'd never even heard of it before. Mm-hmm. And the kid, honestly, they loved it.
See, I think that's it. And if you can kind of, if you present it properly, I think the kids can really enjoy some of the different options. You know, Bill, you're in the it's not broke, don't fix it category, right? Hey, this is fine.
I always find stuff that I like. There's never a time I don't.
But
people
don't
always
you,
go, you're a picky eater, but
you eat the same thing a lot.
I find things that I like, and I tend to gravitate toward them.
And there's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. So here's the other side of it. You find things that you like. This is one of my resolutions, is to actually eat the leftovers, is to kind of, because we'll bring things home. Bill, I know you eat a lot of.
Yeah.
We'll bring things home, and we always bring them home, because obviously you don't want to just, we just have
to get lost in the refrigerator.
They just get thrown out like 3 days later. You don't necessarily eat them. So maybe find some different recipes, some ways to kind of either freshen them up or something like that, or figure out ways to actually, you know, not waste the food.
Right. That's a good resolution, Dane. I like that one. Give me another one. You got one more?
I got one more. And then donate to a food pantry. So if you're not going to eat it, just take those leftovers from wherever and bring them to a food pantry. I'm kidding, because they probably wouldn't take them. But get involved with your local food pantry, you know, whether it's the Greater Chicago Food Depository, whether it's the West Suburban one. We do a lot of stuff with them. So those are some of the resolutions. And
Well,
we got some trends too. So if you can
kind of. Can you wait on the trends?
I can totally wait.
We'll take a little bit of a break. Dane Neal is here. If you want to talk to us, we're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dane Neal's here. It's Bill and Wendy. Dane Neal's here. We're talking about food. Here's a text having to do with what we were just discussing. The text reads, teach your kids how to cook. Kids who are old enough should be helping with cooking and cleaning up their life skills for being adults. Now, we didn't teach either of our daughters to cook. They just kind of picked it up through watching cooking shows on television, and they both are pretty good cooks.
The education is there, and you'd be surprised. Well, maybe you wouldn't, but I kind of was surprised at how excited they are to get involved and do it. You know, they are like so excited. If you know, not only will they say, can I help,
mm-hmm.
but even if there's stuff that you have to, like, hey, who wants to break the eggs, you guys want to mix this, I mean, they're all about it. They will clamor to do that. And part of it is, there's this kind of familiarity. It's not so mysterious cooking yourself, you know, and they see it as fun, which I was kind of surprised, because I think we grew up seeing it as work, you know.
Sure.
It was a lot of work, you know, and certainly if you had that passion for it, but kids see it as a lot of fun. And it's part of this, Bill, is one of the trends that's coming up in 2019 is more people will eat at home. Maybe not you. I know you're a big out to eat guy, but
I prefer to eat out or to get food, pick food up and bring it back to the house.
If your daughters like to cook, do they ever cook meals for you at home?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Is it anything you like?
Yeah, they have their success rate is pretty good.
And you're not necessarily picky, but in my opinion, you're not very adventuresome with food.
Well, like I said, I have found foods from all over the world, not just local foods, but I love Asian food. That's my absolute favorite. And you know, if you like it, why would you go anywhere else?
Because you might like something you never
tried.
Oh,
I know. I do from time to time. I surprise myself. Go on, Dane. What were you going to say?
Well, so that's it. So half of the people's dining expenses are spent eating out, yet 82% of the meals are prepared at home. This is one of those things. And now, and millennials, like, they have no problem. They like to cook 4 days a week. You know, and they're, and of course, now the popularity of the meal kits, Wendy, you mentioned too, better supermarket prepared foods and all sorts of things. So there's a lot of, I don't know, that is sort of making it at home, but it's kind of a little help. Like you said,
sure.
If you're getting the food, sure, you're eating at home. If you bring it home, or if you get a meal kit, you're preparing it at home.
Right.
You've had, those are like training wheels, though, right? You have a little bit of help.
They are. It is Chicago Restaurant Week right now, or it's about to be Chicago Restaurant Week?
Chicago Restaurant Week is coming up. It is going to be on, I think it's the 24th or 25th until February 7th. So it's actually 2 weeks.
Oh.
It's not
false advertising.
Right?
Game.
I think so, right? It's a little bit. But hey, you know, you get out there. This is one of those things that started 12 years ago. I don't want to take credit for it, but I'll contend. I did when I was doing
it. You were a big part of this.
Well, Tiny, maybe, who knows? No one will admit this, but. There was did an interview for a nationally syndicated show. They did on Restaurant Radio America, and we talked with Washington had done, other cities were doing it. Washington D.C. had done a restaurant week, and I talked with some of the people from the city, like, hey, you guys should do this. And then the next year, boom, restaurant week.
Yes. You
know, I'm not saying anything. Who knows? Either way, it's grown now. 100 new restaurants involved this
100
year.
100 new restaurants since last year.
Just this year. Jeez. Alone. 45. In the suburbs, a lot of the ones, and I looked them up for you, Wendy, too, in the western suburbs, most of them are kind of, you know, around sort of the Oak Brook area, mm-hmm. Yorktown and things like that. But 45 in the suburbs, 400 restaurants are involved in this, including when we've got some food. Piccolo Sonio and Tony Priolo will be on with us Sunday talking a little bit about it. He's been involved since the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, Noninas, and Piccolo Sonio has gotten a lot of accolades. So you've got some of the top chefs, you know, those kind of name famous chefs in Chicago, all the way down to kind of fast food places.
Yep. Something for everybody.
I would say.
What do you think happened that made it grow so much, not just over the years, but especially from last year to this year? Adding 100 restaurants in 1 year's time is no easy feat. What happened?
Well, I think it's a few different things. The components are, number one, it's a great opportunity. There's this huge list of great restaurants for people that are excited, curious. Unlike you, Bill, it's not broke, don't fix it. But for those people that are thinking, oh, I want to go to that place, you've got 24, it's got the prefix lunches and the prefix dinner. So $24 brunch and lunch, $36 to $48 on dinner. So you have an opportunity to get into some of these places at a discount, right? So mm-hmm. it's cheaper than maybe it would normally be. You've got the opportunity to go ahead and kind of control what it is that you're having, see some new places, and then maybe you'll go back and experience it on the full side. You also have, you know, great causes. You know, you've got Pilot Light. We've had them in studio. They do so much for teaching kids and bringing chefs into the classroom, kind of like, you know, bringing the police officer, the fireman comes in, they bring the chefs in, and they not only talk about being a chef, but also teach, you know, science and math. And so you've got some great causes.
That's plus pretty cool. That's a fun way to have science and math taught.
Well, Paul Kahn is part of it, and Matthias Mergis and Jason Hamill, so some great chefs. And it's really thoughtful. It isn't like, hey, let's get into the school and just kind of hang out. Hey, we're chefs. Isn't that cool? They're building it into the science and math. And so they're actually building it into the curriculum. So much about cooking is about measurement, science, math, temperatures. You know, it's more than just, you know, the hat, right? Mm-hmm. You know, or whatever it is that you're doing. And they've done a great job into a bunch of the Chicago public schools. So it's going to support that. So that's great. And they've got their big event coming up. It's this is the first Bites Bash. And this is at the Field Museum. 70 or so of those restaurants and great chefs are going to be there as well. That's coming up on the 24th. And it's at the Field Museum. Whenever you can have an event at the Field Museum, that's pretty cool.
That's impressive. Yeah.
How did they
decide? Like, each restaurant, they provide like a partial sampling of their menu, right? They don't do full menu, do they? Or do they?
Well, they've got the kind of setups that they have. Typically, though, you'll have restaurants that will kind of share the best representation of what it is that they do. So for Piccolo Sonia, they won an award from Food Network for having the best, you know, spaghetti sauce,
so
best red sauce.
Have that.
So they're going to have that. Because here's what you're hoping for when the smoke clears, and it's businesses, right? Everybody in Chicago, the chef community is very communal. Everybody gets together and supports. But ultimately, you're hoping to really introduce yourself on this platform to so many new people who will get to know and love your restaurant. So
you want repeat customers.
Yeah, so there's, well,
right, hopefully.
Just distill it. I say get to know and enjoy your repeat customers. Yes, right. Yeah. When you distill it down, that's kind of what it is.
Why does the chef community here get along so well? What's going on there? That's very peculiar. Most businesses are so cutthroat, but for some reason in this business,
it is hard to put your finger on it. It's one of those things that I don't know that the code has been cracked, and it's so different from what you would say is the leading place as far as the example of a restaurant town, New York City, where it's very catty, it's very competitive. Right. If you had a fire at your restaurant, Barry Sorkin from Smoke just had a fire there, and everybody was like racing to try to figure out how to help him when the different places have fires or people help out with labor. I don't know what it is. It just, I think that
we're nicer here.
Is that what it is, Wendy?
Are we
nicer?
Well, I think that everybody feels like there's enough, that the restaurant community as a whole is enough of a draw where there's, you know, and better, I think, stronger as a group maybe than just one or two different restaurants. We remember back when it was just Charlie Trotter's, you had one place, or, you know, you think about, well, okay, Rick Bayless and Frontera and all that kind of stuff in the last 10 years or so. I think it's just been so much. It's such a draw for great talent and certainly such a draw for great food, too.
Yeah. Excellent. I broke this news to you when you walked in, but you weren't aware of this. This restaurant, Mama's Boy, here in Chicago,
I never heard
just closed.
Of that.
I know it because it's got my. I've never eaten there, but I pass by it all the time.
I guess you're not alone because
it's got my favorite name of any restaurant in town.
That is good.
Mama's Boy. I love the name of it. So we don't know the history of why it went down. They always seem to be crowded every time I pass by there.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that. Even if it is crowded in places, this is the one in River North. I mean, it's very expensive. You know, you got the rents. You have all that kind of stuff. Part of a restaurant group could be part of something else that's going on. But
do you
know
the restaurant Boltwood in Evanston? Because we had heard Heckies. Good things. Now, Heckies is down the street from it a little bit. We ate at Boltwood a couple weeks ago. We'd been trying to get in for months, and we finally got a seat. So we get in there. It's great. We love everything about it. They announced 3 days later they're closing.
Oh, you're the kiss of death.
The owners just said, yeah, we're fed up. We've been doing it. We're making money. We enjoy what we're doing, but it's just too much work.
Who would do that? It's like when Hot Dogs closed. You're like, well, what? That makes no sense.
If things are going good.
If you don't want to do it, hire someone to be the hot, you know, to man the counter or whatever.
They had a drink there at Boltwood called the Tom Skilling.
Wow. What?
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good forecast for success. But here's one idea.
Hey, Neil, ladies and gentlemen. Two shows on Saturdays.
That may be there. Maybe it's kind of a gravitating towards sensitivity. Mama's Boy closes because we all know, you know, the Panty Waste, the restaurant, closed.
Right.
Like, hey, you Four Eyes, shut
down.
All the
negative. They have a chain of restaurants with all negative sounding
names. Yeah, all those old-time insult restaurants they're on hard times.
Right. So true. Dane, great to see you. Listen to Dane Neil on Saturday from 2 to 4. His
Mario
show
Andretti.
On the Road with Dane Neil. Mario Andretti will be by.
And more.
And more than that?
Yes, I just 2 hours
of Mario and more.
Wow. Who can deal with it? All right. Thank you, Dane. Appreciate
it. Yep.
A quick break and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN.